And a one, and a two, and welcome from the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 111. Spotlight on DC Comics Final Crisis Part 4. And I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Sorry.
This is an inhale.
Eating some caracas, apparently. All right, so so this week we'll be covering issue number 6.
Holy.
And let's see, who wants to do it? I think it's Caleb's turn.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I believe number 7 for you, Mer. So
excellent.
As
it should be. When we last saw our intrepid heroes, they were totally getting their asses handed to them by Darkseid and his forces of badness in the nether realms of Apocalypse. So number six has, again, an awesome cover by J.G. Jones. If this guy did nothing else in his life but covers, that would be just fine.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
This Batman cover, the details on it, that utility belt, I mean, alone. I'd want one of those.
Absolutely.
I'm not a bat fanatic like some people.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Switching over to the other cover. What are we calling those? The stripe down the middle?
I don't know what they call them.
Yeah, they're the stripey covers.
Stripey covers.
Okay, but we'll go with stripey covers then.
It's got Darkseid standing over a fallen Superman who is totally trashed, holding Superman's cape. You know, he's tugging on Superman's cape.
Whoa! You talking about 6?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
6 of 7. It says it right there at the top.
Oh, you're talking about the cover. My bad. The thing I got open doesn't have it.
Well,
now I see it. Okay. I'm with you.
Living in a cave, man.
I'm with you.
Is this a new design for Darkseid? His tunic with the Omega symbol on it?
It looks like it. I don't think he actually wears that in the book.
But you can tell he is wearing a skirt, a kilt, though, that is starting to ride up.
Yeah, that's I've seen that before, just not the Omega symbol.
Yeah, that kilt it a little bit higher, and we're looking at an X-rated book.
Oh, I don't think I'd ever want to see his junk. So yeah,
Darkseid's junk.
That would be bad.
And I think this. I think the credits listed here on the cover is the first sign that we not the first sign, but it's definitely a sign that we have artistic issues, where we've got Grant Morrison and then also J.G. Jones and Marco Rudy and Carlos Pacheco and Jesus Moreno all doing art chores on this book. So I think that's excessive. In any case, but it's still a nice cover. I'm glad for it. So we start off with Brainiac 5. This is number into the issue. Sorry. Moving into the issue. We have Brainiac 5 and Superman descending a circular staircase amidst a very psychedelic galaxy-strewn... I don't know. What is this? Is it a lot of planets around them.
It's like a... I don't know. Maybe it's one of those storage tesseracts that they've got in the headquarters or something.
It's the basement of the time bubble.
Yeah, that's it. The basement of the time bubble. Now, the annotation here says that this... he says it's obvious, but I'm not sure if it is obvious or not, that from Superman's words that this takes place after Superman Beyond number 2 and at the time of the writing, Unfinished Legion of Three Worlds number 1. So anyway.
No, I'm you know what, where's that annotation? Send that to me again. I'm sure I've got it here.
Why, sure. 1 second, please.
Ah, here we go.
Got it?
I have one moment. that's handy to have. Okay, got it. And we're on number 6, How to Murder the Earth. Okay, so, sorry. No problem. So, Brainiac 5 is pontificating about they need to save the world, and he's going through this very elaborate Indiana Jones-esque series of traps to get to a door. He tells Superman, in 2960, the controller discovered a way to refine Guardian's willpower technology to create the final machine, the ultimate technological artifact, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
This is douchey, Brainiac 5. I love how he's having to he's walking on the ground and Superman is hovering over the floor.
Yeah.
And we go into a room and there's a machine that turns thoughts into things. And Superman's, why are you telling me this? If a machine like that exists, why can't we use it to protect ourselves now? Brainiac 5 is, I'm afraid it's not that simple. When we realize the horrific potential of a single stray thought to completely alter reality, we switch the device off permanently. We seal the machine for all time in a block of neutron. Very few people know of its existence, and the only person I trust to even look at it is you. Do you understand what I'm saying, Superman? I'm about to show you the God weapon. Do you understand? And Superman is starting to fade out. Back to the Future style. And he's saying, make it fast, Brainiac 5. Now, if you shut something off permanently, doesn't that mean it's off?
That's kind of weird.
This whole section doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me anyway, because the Miracle Machine was eaten.
Yeah, here it says, page 3, panel 1, Brainiac unveils a God weapon which has much history of its own. Douglas Wolk's excellent Final Crisis annotation block has a lot more on the weapon, including the fact its design is modeled on Metron circuit, something I had completely missed. Interesting.
Yeah.
If you look at the next page, it does look like that.
Yes, and Superman is throwing out the Great Krypton. Dude, this is a kid's book, and you're saying that kind of stuff.
Is it what now? I missed it.
I'm being a smartass. He's swearing.
Okay, gotcha.
In control language, its name is Gay-Jolah the Absolute. Why does Morrison feel the need to do that? It's just...
Do what now?
Give it that name, that Gay-Jolah the Absolute. Why didn't he just name it?
I don't know.
Miracle Machine. He even says there's no translation that really makes sense, so we call it the Miracle Machine. But I can't reach it, I'm fading. You don't need to reach it. Look at it, Superman. Just look. And Superman is fading. He's see-through. Brainiac 5. Again, this is... I have a problem. There is no build-up to this moment. Yeah, I think you're right. You have to have read that Superman... two-parter, the 3D book.
Yeah.
To have any relevance whatsoever.
I guess, because the last time we saw him, he was pulled out of the hospital room by some...
Yeah, because...
Monitor Chicky-Poo, right?
He was pulled out of the time stream by them in the Legion of Three Worlds. So I'm not really sure the order...
Yeah, but the last time we saw him in this miniseries, Murray's right, he was sitting Shiva with Lois and
yep, you're right.
And then someone took him away, and that's the last we've seen of him. And this is the next time we see him. He's not with the monitor chick, and he I don't know. Like, I mean, whatever.
All right.
Okay.
Hold on, guys. The everybody else is gone, and the door is ringing. So.
The door Talk is amongst, ringing.
Yes, the doorbell's ringing. Oh, wait.
Oh, doorbell is ringing.
Yes. Wait a minute. It's probably the munchkins are back. Let me go double check. Continue. Please continue.
So sans Mosby, we're going to move on here. Page 4, we've got a really great shot of what was then the JLA Watchtower satellite.
Mm-hmm.
actually very cool. We got Neophyte Tattoo Man staring out the window going, oh my god, I never thought I'd get to see the Earth from space. Such a, it sure is a beautiful thing. And he's admitting that he has made good life choices, I think. What I have, this tattoo thing, and I took for granted this power, it's a gift. And Black Canary walks up, looking sage and looking like she needs a little more conditioner in her hair to give it some more body.
Yeah, she needs a brushing, man.
She needs a brushing. It's not all poofy like it was in Justice League International. What is she? Fair a feathered thing going on.
It is the end of the world. Conditioner's probably hard to come by.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Hopefully she's at least shaving her underpants. And she makes him an honorary member of the Justice League, because at that point she was the Justice League chairman, or did they call him chairman or leader? I don't know.
Could. I think they were chairs.
Chair as well, just like in the Avengers.
All right, I'm back.
He's like, oh, like, swear word, honorary Justice League? Yeah, so now you're taking orders from me. So basically she's saying, you're an honorary Justice League member, that means that you are my bitch. And she references that circuit, which we got a very vague visual reference of before, with it that's somehow built into his tattoos on his body. Mm-hmm. We never really got much of an explanation of that, though, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think, didn't the Super Young, what are they? Super Young Super Squad?
Yeah, Super Young Squad, they had it too.
Yeah, they. I think they explained it as being a symbol from the New Gods that protected people from the anti-life equation or something. I think I remember.
Yeah, it's Metron Circuit.
I thought that was just the facial tattoo, but didn't he exhibit some kind of whole body tattoo thing when Jefferson Pierce got helmeted?
I don't remember.
Okay, I think it was an issue.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
And in Rush, the Allen twins, along with Ray and Joan Allen, and not the Allen twins, I'm sorry, the West twins. Apologies.
Yes, yes.
And Iris West come rushing in. I had an absolutely ugly panel with the Ray and the Flash family standing there. That's just a butt ugly panel, I'm sorry.
It's not that great, is it?
And they see something going on outside out the window behind Black Canary and Tattoo Man. And it's a ship coming straight at them. And good line, though. Ever since I became a superhero, peace went out the window.
Yeah.
And Black Canary tells Ray that he needs to bail immediately. That's an order. And was he a member of the Justice League at that point, or is it the same? He's probably an honorary member, just like Tattoo. One of the
backup ones, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't think he was part of the team at that point. I don't know that he's ever really... Maybe he was like a Justice League Task Force member or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was with the Martian Manhunter during that period with what was that? That out of time character that they created for that.
Triumph.
Good.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yes. So yeah, that had Ray and Gypsy and Martian Manhunter and Triumph and.
Yeah. So there you go. He wasn't a real Justice League member.
He was a legacy hero too, wasn't he?
Yes.
The Ray? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Ray back in the 40s who eventually became a member of the Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think most of us know him from, as the Freedom Fighters, I would think. And then, of course, the newest, the Naked Ray.
Yes. We haven't seen him. We're not going to see them again.
No, I doubt that.
Really not.
It didn't do is good enough, probably.
I like that series. Oh, well.
It's pretty good.
They go through all the trouble of introducing these new characters, and then they throw Dial H for Hero as a new title rather than trying to... off topic, sorry.
It's quite all right.
And then we have Supergirl and Mary Marvel going at it over, I think it's over Bloodhaven, I think. They're trashing. Mm-hmm. And they are trashing what's left of Bloodhaven because that's what ultimate powered super chicks do.
Yes.
That's right. They are fighting it out.
They are. And Mary Marvel's like, oh, Supergirl, you're loving this. She is totally into the bondage thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Getting punched and smiling while getting punched. And then we get a quick flash of some of the leftover heroes still fighting away. It looks like on a bridge of some sort. We got Liberty Bell, Hourman. Oh, those ones that we saw from the previous issue. The ones that were still. Vixen. Is that Vixen? Wow, that's a... Wow, okay.
Yeah, Vixen. It's a little muddy, isn't it?
Stripe and Wildcat. Looks like Wildcat won, Ted Grant, as opposed to the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Wildcat should be around somewhere.
I'm sure he is. And then we get an actually really awesome panel. This Mary Marvel breaking out panel is really nice. With her crazy eyes and the...
that's a good one.
The Kirby crackle on her tummy.
After she got hit by a bus.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Literally.
And then there's a line that maybe... Hold on, I got to go back a page. Give me a second here. Oh, yeah, so Mary Marvel, some reason, called Supergirl a slut. I don't know where that came from.
And she just...
She probably read the first couple of issues of Supergirl series back when Loeb and Turner were doing it.
Ah.
And then Supergirl is like, you calling me a slut? And for some reason, Black Adam's powers are fading. And so he... But he's hearing voices in his head. And the name Desaad keeps popping his head. And he grabs Mary Marvel's leg like a tackler in the NFL. Reaching for a quarterback.
Looks like he's biting her, but, you know, I don't think that's what's happening. Like he's going, like a dog, you know.
He's gonna hamstring her with his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts a boot, a very high-heeled boot, a very FM-heeled boot into his face.
Mm-hmm.
How is it her boot doesn't break, the heel doesn't break off?
It's a super boot.
It's a new God boot. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
New God, new fashion.
Yep.
And we got, and this is actually well done art. I like that they've got Supergirl flying in from behind with the broken light pole and whaps Mary Marvel on the head. And it's down to the two of them. Again, the girl on girl action here. They're gonna. I always wonder about Grant Morrison's verbal sound effects, like the goon and the git.
Wasn't there a controversy about that?
Yeah, he did one in his first issue of Action, or maybe second issue, where Superman got hit and his verbal sound effect was git.
Yeah, everybody thought he had said goddamn.
Yes.
I remember that. That was so ridiculous.
I've never made the noise for gin, so.
Well, yeah, but you haven't hit by a broken light pole either, probably.
Oh, you know, good point.
Yeah, you know, just benefit of the doubt there. You know, no telling what I'd say if I got hit by a truck or a bus or, you know.
At that point, I probably wouldn't be saying much of anything.
Well, you know, you got to assume you're super because somebody's super, you know, planted on you.
Duh.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're implying here though that by the way that Desaad is now possessing Mary Marvel, so kind of a transsexual Desaad.
Okay.
And Freddie Freeman Shazam says, Supergirl, I have an idea. It might take the last of my magical energy, but I think I can stop her. He didn't actually have the pauses in his dialogue. Just that seemed like appropriate because it's the last of his magic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
And then we have Takitani taking on Tigerized Calibac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tiger on Tiger.
Tiger action. Even better than girl on girl action.
Yeah, actually.
And he talks about his native tongue, his own tongue translate. This is Tawny talking. I didn't realize he was. I wasn't up on my Marvel family stuff at this point, so they redid his origin, and he was no longer a transformed tiger or whatever he was. He was actually an alien or from some hidden city.
I have no idea.
I don't remember what Ordway did with him. I don't know if Ordway did. Ordway use him? I guess maybe.
Was this spinning out of Ordway's run? Okay.
What came after? I guess.
Well, when they were doing that Trials of Shazam, maybe they had something planned with it there.
Maybe.
I don't remember anything like that from that. But.
He says, "Don't let my cultured tones deceive you. Tawny bites, and Calibac is a
hunk of meat."
And we don't get to hear what Calibac is, but he is—he's bitten. He gets Takitani takes a chunk out of his shoulder, and Calibac wails on Takitani. And Takitani, his tie is still tied. That's amazing. And he's gonna, and Calibac is gonna beat him blind. Wow, vicious.
Yeah, that'll sound good. As
Supergirl is beating Desaad Mary Marvel blind. Don't be sure I won't just break your neck. Goody 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 hee hee. Great Desaad, spare your servant. Oh, great Darkseid, spare your servant. No, I don't want to hurt you, as Supergirl says, but she's yelling at her crowd. There's a whole crowd of brainwashed people coming to throw rocks and sticks at Supergirl, who is protecting the innocent by not attacking them. And Mary Marvel / Desaad couldn't give a crap about the people. And here comes Freddie Freeman flying in to tackle Mary Marvel. And this is the point, like you said before, Chris, this is when Freddie Freeman was actually Shazam, Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. right, and I don't know what was up with Billy Batson. I think he'd become the Wizard at this point.
Yeah, he did. He had.
Yeah, it spun out of Infinite Crisis, I think. The
Trials of Shazam.
Even before that, though, the real Wizard was
killed
or something, and the Rock of Eternity. Something
it exploded. I remember that. Yeah, it
exploded, and so Billy took on the mantle of Wizard, and everything passed down that way.
Shifted. So there was so I think at that point they were all, they had already established that they shared the power. So the more of them that were Shazamized, the weaker they were, or the less powerful they were. So.
Yeah, I remember that.
And for some reason, Mary Marvel seems to be sucking up all the Shazam energy. And so Freddie Freeman tackles her and yells the word Shazam. And there's a flash of lightning, of course, and Calibac's saying, "Have no fear, Darkseid owns along the lightning," and then Takitani takes some claws to his intestinal area, tummy. Yikes.
Anyone want sausage?
Yes. There's the casing. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's it for Calibac.
That is, because the other ones are like, nope, only the strong survive. Strong, no help. Strong is only. Wow, they have Yoda on their team. Okay.
That's right. The Tigers are now following Taki.
Who's got his jetpack back on?
Well, who can't respect a tiger with a jetpack? I mean, you know.
I think you have to. What do you say to... What does a tiger with a jetpack have for lunch? Any damn thing he
wants. Anything he wants. Great.
And then we get Freddie Freeman and Mary Batson, because they're back to being human again or normal again, sitting cuddling each other, and she's like, "What have I done? Oh no, what have I done? Oh God, I didn't mean this. I didn't mean any of this." And Freddie's like, "Shh, it wasn't you. It wasn't you, Mary." So somehow by de-Shazamizing her, Desaad has also been driven out of her. And she says, I can never say the word again. And then we go back to the other heroes who were fighting on the bridge. We've got Stripe saying, tell them we secured the bridge. Bring up the second wave. And we get that Spanish-speaking guy with the heavy armor.
And according to this thing here, it says something's coming like the sound of horses. That's what he's saying.
Ooh. Como el sonido, that would be sound. De unos caballos. I bet that's horse.
Actually, it's caballos. The two
caballos.
L's is a yit sound.
See, and you people thought you wouldn't learn anything listening to this podcast.
There you go. You Arizonians who know your Spanish.
Yeah, I lived in Bogota, Colombia for 6 months, man. I was a drug runner. No, I was not. I was not a drug runner.
He caught me off guard on that one. That's funny.
Unos caballos.
All I know is what I learned from Steve Martin. ¿Dónde está Casa de Pepe? That's pretty much it.
Haven't you ever watched Sesame Street? Sesame Street is
I could probably count to 10, but languages is not my strong suit.
Rosita is always hablas español.
I know what putos means, but that's, you know, beyond the point.
That sounded dirty.
Yeah, it is, pretty much.
I don't think they used that on Sesame Street.
No.
Even when Ricky Martin was on there.
That's on the outtakes.
Ah.
Sesame Street outtakes.
Outtakes, that's hilarious.
I would love to see some of those. and I think that on the ground at the feet of these heroes that have taken the bridge, there's actually some of the
just the fires. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all squished.
And then we got Taki Tani leading his group of tigers. And I'm sorry we had to meet under such appalling circumstance, but do your worst, gentlemen. And
they bow down.
He took out Calibac.
Well, that, and he has a jetpack.
And then a scene reminiscent of World War Z.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude, it was good. I need to see it. I saw it at a drive-in, so, you know, I need to see it a little bit better than that.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
We have
Dad could learn a little bit from Planet Z, for sure.
Yeah, because that was a creepy-ass scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Darkseid is doing here. He's using his brainwashed Earthling minions to build a ramp, a human ramp, up the side of, I think they're in Switzerland still.
Yes, yeah. Castle Grayskull. I mean, Castle something, I forget. Castle Checkmate, that's it, yeah.
Meanwhile, back in Switzerland. And we have inside, this is where we are reintroduced to a young super team, along with Sammy Sumo and Mr. Miracle, who's alive before, of course. Talking with Mr. Terrific, and this is where they talk about the symbol on their face.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So this thing we painted on our head, it appears to be a letter from the alphabet of the new gods, a living symbol that means freedom from restriction and protects against anti-life. And Mr. Terrific is thinking. Is it just me, or is this art a little muddy? I don't know.
It is very muddy.
Muddy?
Yeah, it sounds like you got a monkey loose in your house or somebody.
Just a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Oh, okay. I know exactly how that is. Oh, and the doorbell was, for some reason, whenever they all leave together and the oldest, he can't just walk back into the house. He's got to ring the doorbell 2 or 3 times before he comes in. So that's what that was all about. They just got back from winter clothes buying.
Yeah. Stop that. Don't even say that.
Well, you know.
Stop.
Okay, I won't say it anymore. Continue.
Dude, I'll be in Hawaii in 2 weeks, so winter clothes aren't even...
Ah, you bastard.
I know, I am a bastard. It's true. Uh-huh. I admit it freely. And, you know, we are looking around at the various young super teams hanging around. Someone said, countdown has begun, which I'm thinking is a very, very, very subtle reference to Countdown.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Trivik's telling Mr. Miracle, hey, I guess I'll have to get back to you on that one, Mr. Norman. Black Gambit, status. Did I tell you about Checkmate's endgame and the super? If the superheroes failed, if hope ran out? Page won't turn. Turn page. Turn. There we go. And we get a really cool double page spread of the new female Furies, the Wonder Woman led female Furies with Giganta, Batwoman, Wonder Woman, Catwoman, all as the female Furies, taking the snot out of the heroes who had just taken that bridge a few pages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just ripping into them. And Wonder Woman...
Yeah, that's ugly.
Wonder Woman is totally reveling in it. And then we get flashback back to Switzerland and the super young team and Milo talking. Mother Box says... says you're from a lateral universe. He's talking to Sonny Sumo. Sonny Sumo. Mother Box knows too much. Maybe that's what you call it. Maybe that's what you call it. Sonny Sumo went back in time and died a happy man in feudal Japan. I stumbled through a hole in my life into his life with the end of the world at my heels. Whoa.
Wow, that makes no sense.
Yeah, this time travel-y stuff just hurts my head a lot.
Okay, in this it says, Sonny Sumo's origins are explained as it is revealed that this is not the new Earth version. Behind and between them, you can... Okay, that doesn't help either.
Do you know what? I don't think anybody would give a crap.
I don't know, it's just kind of... Yeah, I don't know why he had to tell that.
Yeah, really, it's... Whatever. It doesn't matter where he came from. He's just he just came from Kirby Land, is what he is.
He really did. They're all yeah. I think all these guys are based on Kirby creations. Anyhow, and then they're trying to figure out how they're going to spend their last moments alive and admitting each other's love for each other
okay.
I love this. I have the something Super Bat says. Most excellent Super Bat. His superpower is, I have the greatest power of all, Mr. Miracle. I am so rich, I can do anything.
Okay, I looked at this other annotation page about that. Apparently, this is a reference to a... so he's playing Up with Sonny, the original of whom remained back in time in Kirby's Forever People number 7. And there's a link, and I looked at it, and it's a comic from 1971. So I guess he felt like he had to explain while he was there. When he actually was left in... Yeah, okay. So there you go.
Incredibly relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Murray, would you agree that Most Excellent Super Bat would be a great member of the Green Team?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Actually, that would be a... Yeah. He would make a good little crossover there or something.
You guys still... You reading that still, or...?
I am.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at the first issue yet. Of that or the other one. The Movement.
It cannot sustain as an ongoing series, but I think as a... what will end up being a limited series, I think it's going to be very good.
Okay. Or a mid-season replacement until they can make something better.
Until they can throw something else at the wall and see if it sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we are back on the satellite, the Justice League satellite. And
Satellite of Love. No, that's another show. Sorry.
I'm sure it is.
Mystery Science Theater. Oh, never mind.
What?
Mystery Science Theater 3000. No idea what I'm talking about. Okay, continue. I'll send you links later.
Hey, appreciate it. And then we got the Justifier helmeted members of the Justice League standing over the remaining members of the non-justified Justice League. We got Green Arrow and Black Lightning. And it would have been nice if he had used their superhero names rather than their first names.
Yeah.
But that's whatever. And Black Canary is begging her then husband, Green Arrow, to not put a helmet on her. And as they start to put one on the tattooed man, and they're saying all is one in Darkseid, and boy, that's a crappy drawing of Black Canary. That's the least sexy she's ever been in her.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure it was a female. That's really bad.
Oh, ouch.
Seriously, look at that.
I agree.
It barely looks like a human.
Yeah, the only way I knew it was her was it's me, Oliver. I love you. I love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So love is pain. He's all love is pain. Anti-life is the anesthetic. Submit. And as they're trying, they go back to the tattoo man who they were trying to put the helmet on, and something's happening, but it's not working. The helmet's not working on him because he's got the tattoo on his face, that protective tattoo that Milo Norman was talking about a couple of pages ago. And his tattoos are going crazy, and they're taking out Jefferson Pierce Black Lightning, and Black Canary is turning off gravity in the satellite, and she kicks Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, in the head, knocks the helmet off, and Green Arrow is still fighting it. And Black Canary's like, look at me, Oliver, look at me, and fight it, damn it, snap out of it. He's like, anti-life's so easy. And she decks him, as she always should have in all those years. God, who's drawing this? Who's doing these pages?
I don't know, but they're really bad.
I would say
it's probably one of those many 14 different artists that were listed on the cover.
It doesn't look like Doug Monkey.
No. Doug Monkey's not on this.
Is he not? He's on the cover. No, he's not. He's on the back. He's listed on the back credits.
Oh. Okay.
We're not there yet.
So he didn't even make it to the front. He was one of the multiple artists that didn't even make it to the front cover credits.
Well, yeah, I have a feeling this was probably when so many artists was when it hit the fan, time-wise. And it might have been a lot of unfinished stuff, and they just went in and tried to fix it, and it's just not pretty.
And apparently Oliver Queen's blood is even blonde.
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Blood.
Yeah, that's in there like that, too. That's wild. Yep.
Gross. Yeah,
this guy is... What's that?
Gross.
That's gross.
Yeah.
And then we get a cool scene back at another Checkmate location. We've got the two then Adams, Ray Palmer and Ryan Choi. Both professors, Palmer and Choi, preparing to ride the Graviton Superhighway to another universe. They introduce themselves, Ray Palmer the Atom. This is Ryan Choi, also known as the Atom. And he says, Ray, I need a new name. This is embarrassing. We get a kind of twisted panel. This looks like Doug Monkey. Of all the psychics from around the DC universe, including Ms. Martian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I miss that character. She should come back.
Yeah, I liked it too. I liked it too.
Yep. There's a lot of characters that, I mean, we don't have, setting aside Donna Troy and Wally West, there are other characters they could bring back easily. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to purge the human mass consciousness of the anti-life equation. And they get a room full of psychic or mystics, including who we got here? We got Zatanna, Brother Voodoo.
Really? No, that's the guy from Teen Titans. Warp. Hoongan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the one who used the little mm-hmm. the cancer balls and poked them. Okay. Got it.
Yep.
Whatever. Oh yeah, Hoongan behind her into that and Tracy 13. Okay.
Yeah, her I didn't like.
Somebody with a hat. Sorry.
Phantom Stranger. I bet that's the Phantom Stranger.
I was gonna say like Doctor 13 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I don't think Phantom Stranger would show up at a time like this. Things are too critical. Too
crazy.
And then we're back to Nazi Supergirl. Yes. And they're looking in the room, and it looks like they're dissecting her. Nice.
Yeah, getting ready to.
Oh no, they're damaged. They can't dissect her because they're.
Oh yeah, yeah, I see it. They've been trying to, and it ain't doing any good. Okay, gotcha.
They were trying to dissect her. Sweet. And they couldn't do it. And then they show up in a room with a big bowling ball. And this is where the Black Gambit will be played. Who's that talking? I apologize. I should have.
That is.
What the hell?
That's my phone.
Pardon me. I shouldn't have had that for lunch. Who is that talking?
That is Checkmate Dude with Renee Montoya.
Oh, it's Talib Benny Khalid.
Oh, okay. And there's, according to this, they're saying Maxwell Lord's brain is in the jar.
Oh, sweet. So he's been giving Montoya the 5-cent tour of this Checkmate location. And we get to a room where there's a bunch of OMACs lining the wall, and I'd like you to meet Lord I, he says to her. What? Enough of the sensory block, you know, swear word overload. There's nothing left out there. In case you hadn't noticed, it's all over for the home team. And then we get Brother I talking. We live within the multiverse of possibilities, Miss Montoya. The choices we make decide worlds. You have unprecedented levels of law enforcement experience with particular regard to superhuman and crime-fighting activities, Renee. You are the template for something new. We have already identified a target Earth into which we will make our retreat. So they're going to bail. If Professors Palmer and Choi are successful, we will core through the bulk into a parallel universe. Okay. We want you to lead the global peace agency that will establish the remnants of this world on another. And then she says what the rest of us are thinking. Wait a minute, say that whole bit again?
That makes no sense. So we can't. This world is screwed. So we're going to put a beachhead on another universe and make it submit to our will.
And she's going to be a super cop.
That's what I'm reading. Is that what you guys getting out of this? I don't remember that part.
Yes. So you make it sound so sinister.
I'm not talking about sinister. It just sounds silly to me. But
well, they got to take the survivors and put them somewhere. So they're going to go through the multiverse and find an Earth and. Renee gets to be the cop on that Earth.
Annotation says that the Global Peace Agency featured in Jack Kirby's OMAC series, the original one, is another nod back to his work. They were all faceless agents, so it seems fitting that if anyone should be their template, it would be the Question.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I hadn't thought about that before, but that's cool.
Feels like a way to... There were so many ideas that he wanted to have spin out of this series that never got.
I'm sure.
Like Renee Montoya being super cop Question. So, and that was never, nothing was ever done of that. And then we flash to the villains, and we've got Luther and Dr. Savannah hanging out together.
I like the two of them together. I would buy a comic of those two.
What? Savannah and Luthor?
Yeah.
Interesting.
How about the new Savannah?
Have we seen a new Savannah yet?
Yeah.
In the Shazam backup?
I don't like him.
No.
He's got a ways to go.
He needs glasses.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think the very last installment of the Shazam story maybe aged him up a bit or something, because he got all zapped by something. So maybe he's going to start looking like a frail little egghead again, but you're right. I want pre-Flashpoint Savannah and whatever Luther is around. I don't care which Luther it is, but they make a good buddy. They would make a good buddy book.
Yeah, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
The world's not so kind.
Yeah. They could be totally. One of them could be Pinky. One of them could be the brain, and they could keep switching roles every other issue.
See, and the fun part would be them arguing back and forth which one was which.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it.
your brain tonight. Oh, your pinky tonight.
They have good chemistry.
Man.
They do. Morrison does write them well together. They're sitting here debating what to do about this. Well, first of all, they admit to hating each other. They don't like each other.
That's what they say when the lights are on. When the lights are on, it's a completely different speech.
Protest too much, huh?
They grease up their bald heads together and
mm-hmm.
Oof, that's the end of that story. Nice little touch here, but Savannah admits to hating Luther, but he says, but they made me watch my own dear daughter submit to the anti-life equation, and that was the last straw, the very last straw. So apparently there were other last straws, but this was the...
That's right.
The really, really, really last straw. Gotcha.
They hung me from a hook once. Once. Johnny Dangerously? Nobody? Oh, God, people, come on.
Oh, that's been a long time, man.
So the two of them start conniving together, and they turns out that the helmets were designed by the Mad Hatter.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. And Savannah says, "Hey, I converted my watch into a short-range signal jammer. Good." They finally allowed me to power up my war suit in anticipation of today's quote-unquote battle, charitable event. Calculator will die there forever, protesting his innocence, begging forgiveness. And so they had been hanging out with a hanging calculator.
Just hanging out with a calculator.
Yes, who was not dying. And Libra finally says, "Hey, it was you guys. You were the ones who were the Judases in my little army here." And Luther turns to Savannah and says, "Impress me, Savannah." And hello, Dr. Savannah, turns on his signal watch,
yes,
which does not in fact bring Superman, but jams the helmet, and Libra is, I don't know what that sound effect is supposed to sound like.
Like, what the what? Huh?
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, they might have made it say dope, but they're afraid of copyright.
And Luther, another good line. Libra, the man who became the glove puppet of the gods. Like, glove puppet of the gods.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the lamb chop to Darkseid's Shipper Lewis.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, my.
We got the visual now.
The Kermit the Frog to Darkseid's Jim Henson. Shall we continue? Yeah. And Luther says, "I'll show you balance," and he has lightning bolts going between his fingers, and he bazorches a vanishing Libra who pulls a Ben Kenobi, and they go over there and start stepping on his robe just like Vader did. And Savannah, another good line, and that's a classic. We haven't heard the last of him, if I ever saw one.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is a war against life, Savannah. This is Luther talking. I'm somewhat fond of life, and for all its ups and downs, and he cuts down calculator. Savannah says, "Meh, meh, 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 sentimental meh." I think that is actually a that harkens back to old time Savannah.
Yeah,
he was always kind of that kind of talker, and you'll hear your voice as the voice of Darkseid if you speak into this. So he's handing him nothing, and he's saying that. Is he handing this?
I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Okay. Well, apparently he's handing something to Luther, which will allow him to a little PA system that will make him sound like Darkseid. But tells him not to shout, just talk. And then we flash back, and we get the boots of Barry Allen. And
those are well-designed boots.
They are.
Kind of a Mrs. Robinson moment shot. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there. We've got Linda West or Linda Lee West or whatever her name is sitting on the couch, and we have Jay Garrick over on the right. God, this is a really nice panel. They got the different builds. And then we're Barry Allen's talking to us. And, I know what I have to do to stop Darkseid this time, and I need your help. Now that Jay's here, we're ready. And Jay, old man form, is, my God, it's good to see you, boys.
Tommy Lee Jones as Jay Garrick.
Yes. Yes, he would be a great Jay Garrick, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd be perfect.
We've cast Jay Garrick, now just for the rest of them.
But we already cast Barry Allen. It's that dude from Glee.
Oh, okay. He's going to be Barry? You got to have an older Barry. As long as we don't have, what's his name? I think he should be banned from all superhero movies forever. What the hell is his name? He played Green Lantern.
Oh.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds. What's wrong with Ryan Reynolds?
He's just been too much, too done.
My wife says he's hot.
Well.
He's smoking hot, apparently. Never let your family walk in the middle of a podcast. That is a lesson learned, right?
Yes.
There.
Uh-huh. I can see that.
They will smart-ass their ways into the internet, right there.
Yep.
I can't wait to see that new Flash on Arrow. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, I'm actually going
Arrow
back and
is a bit
Arrow.
Of a show that is dark and gloomy, and so it's going to need someone who can bust out a song every once in a while.
Oh, man. Boy, is that guy playing Arrow. Oh, God.
Barry the singing police detective. I would so want to see that on Arrow.
Wasn't there a show, the singing... Cop Rock. There was a BBC show, like the singing detective or something like that.
Oh, you lost me on that one.
That one, I don't know.
It was dark. Cop Rock was awesome.
Cop Rock. I vaguely remember that.
We went to two weddings that were all of a sudden, during the wedding, they broke out into song. And all my wife and I could do were think, it's like, oh my God, it's Cop Rock. Anyhow, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I have, I'm so behind on my Arrow. We're only like halfway through season one right now.
Yeah, when I was over at the folks' house, Mom had a bunch of them recorded. I watched like all but four episodes.
Okay.
I hope the acting gets better.
You'll get there. Oh, it's great. I've enjoyed every single episode. So
yeah, they're pretty good. I just have, I don't know, the guy that plays Oliver Queen, he's just not the best actor.
He doesn't need to be.
He's gloomy. He's just had a rough year. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
He's
first season
on an island. He had to swim all the way home. His girlfriend's dead. His other girlfriend is angry.
Mm-hmm. This is
he's
true.
He's had a rough year.
Yep.
His best friend's dad is shooting him with arrows.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend's dad, who used to be a time-traveling bisexual time lord guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyhow, back to the story.
Okay.
We're almost done. I swear to God, folks, we'll go off on more tangents later. And Barry says, Jay, I know I can trust you to take care of Iris until we get back. And we are coming back. And Jay, with his nice little smile and his shiny hat, I'll run holes in my boots from watchtower to watchtower until one by one they fell. I've run holes in my boots from watchtower to watchtower until one by one they fell to the anti-life equation. I searched the countryside up and down for Joan and Linda and the kids, and I followed your trail here, Barry. So they don't know they're on the satellite. That Joan and company are up on the satellite with the kids. And he says, what do you need me to do? And Iris says, I know you'll find Joan soon. We'll all be reunited.
All right, then.
Unfortunately, I knew exactly what song you were humming there.
You lost me on that one.
Reunited.
Reunited.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Barry talks about the Black Racer didn't just give up chasing me. He won't stop until he catches me. And then we get a reference to what was the ongoing Flash series at the time. Barry, I think I met this guy before when he was called the Black Flash. I outran him. Now, was that right? I mean, I was barely reading Flash at the time, so.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if it was at the same time, but yeah, that was a deal.
It was from back a ways, because Wade was on the book, and then he took a year off, and Morrison and Miller wrote the book for a year, and they introduced the Black Flash, and then Wade came back and finished off his run.
So the Black Flash was, in fact, the Black Racer. Okay.
Okay. 1998 was when that story was. So it was like 10 years ago. 10 years in the past from this. Was that 2008 when this was out?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, that was like a 10 years previous Black Flash.
And Barry Smurfs says, "I bet you did," referencing him while outracing the Black Flash. And, okay, places, everyone. Quiet on the set. Oh, no. Here he comes. In races the Black Racer on his skis and his pointy poles. It almost looks like Rom. Space Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's and got Rom face going on.
And I'm assuming that's Barry talking, and he says, we're going to use him. Darkseid is sitting at the center of a personal singularity beyond the reach of light. We'll run faster than we ever have before. On your marks, Wally, get set. And one of the ladies left behind says, Godspeed.
Pretty sure that's Iris.
Okay. What happened to Linda? Wasn't she there a few minutes ago? Whatever.
Nope, she was in the watchtower.
Yep.
So who was sitting on the couch? I thought that was...
Nope, that was Iris. Remember, she was taken by the thing, and Barry kissed her, and all of a sudden she was fine.
Oh, okay. She just looked Asian in that first panel back.
Well, you know, this art, I'm not surprised.
Okay. And then we finally get to see the bad guy. And we get Darkseid's in. I wondered when you would show yourself. Stop skulking in the shadows. Accept that. The equation is proven. Come out. Embrace anti-life and be whole. And out walks back. Darkseid, you look like a feeble. You shouldn't have shot him, Ryan. Now, last we saw Batman, he was in a cocoon trap.
Yeah. This is one of those places. I don't know. You'd have to – that timeline thing that's on the Comics Alliance, you probably find out. If I remember correctly, how it worked out is like after Rest in Peace, and he was like lost in time, and he come back, and then he's here. Wait, that was after. He lost in time was after Final Crisis. My bad.
Yes.
According to this, Final Crisis number 5, and then there was 690. I got it backwards. 683 to 698. Two-part interlude. Wait. Boy, they got that wrong printed here. Two-part interlude shows Batman's involvement in the evil factory from Final Crisis number 2 up to his escape in number 5. He's put through virtual reality simulation that twists his memories to resemble many pre-crisis stories. He realizes this is being done by Scott's Free's old enemy, the Lump, a mind leech. Before escaping, but Bruce takes out a clone army of evil Batman through a combination of will and his own memories. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. My brains are, I think, literally leaking out of my ears at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. So, he escaped from the... So, anyway, go ahead.
Oh, it's poorly, poorly paced is what it is.
It is.
This is a huge gap in storytelling, just like Superman at the beginning of this issue.
Yeah, because later on I was scrolling through and it's like Lois Lane's okay, so they don't make any mention of that other series either. You just had to kind of know, I guess, all that happened there. But anyway.
And Darkseid and Batman have a little tete-a-tete. And Batman says, I made a solemn, very solemn vow about firearms. Not just a regular vow, or just a solemn vow, but a very solemn vow.
Yeah, exactly.
But for you, I'm making a once-in-a-lifetime exception. A gun and a bullet, Darkseid. It was your idea. And he's got the God bullet that killed Orion, and he's got a kind of a Star Trek-y looking gun here that he's pointing. This is Batman pointing at Darkseid. And Batman says, Radium, toxic to your kind. I sealed the bullet that killed Orion in my belt for inspection. But, says Darkseid, Do I make myself clear? Says Batman. Darkseid, little man, can you outrace the Omega Sanction? The death that is life? And Batman fires. Try me. And he fires his bullet, tags Darkseid in the shoulder, but Darkseid had already released the Omega beams from his eyes, which are bouncing around the room, pinball style.
Which, and Batman, you know, he was like standing right in front of him, so.
So wait a minute, so in the one panel, he shoots Darkseid in the shoulder, but in the next one, it shows him almost in the middle of his chest.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It might, I don't know, it's just awkward. And Darkseid's, rah, and Batman's, huh, and he says, gotcha, as these two, Batman says, gotcha, as these two Omega beams are coming in from either side at his head, and he gets bazorched. Boy, does he get bazorched. Oh. Actually, very awesome two-page spread.
Yeah.
Batman getting totally wasted. The Omega beams are tearing him apart. There's explosions going on all around him. I'm thinking this is J.G. Jones.
Thanks. So.
I would put money this as one of his panels. But it is a two-page spread. And you know, the death of Batman, or quote-unquote death of Batman, is worthy of a two-page spread.
I would think so, yeah.
No dialogue, no sound effects, just him falling. And then we are back on Earth with some very Perez-looking art. This is actually really nice, these panels. And yes, Lois Lane is back up and kicking it. She's carrying Streaky around, and Jimmy's signaling his signal watch, not the one Savannah had, but the other one. Mm-hmm. And then we get a black panel saying initiate Black Gambit, and we have the Hawks, Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Do you feel that? I brought my people through fire and terror. I saved the best for the best of them. And she says, but you being here, we die if we're together. And he says, don't you understand? I'd rather die and be reborn in a new life. Maybe then you'll love me again. That's not fair, she says. Because at this point, she didn't
love him.
Not very much at all. And then we do realize that guy in the wheelchair from the previous issue was, in fact, Metron. Because he's got the Rubik's Cube of power. And then we get a flash. These panels are a little awkward to follow. I'm sorry.
It's hard to follow.
Kind of bouncing around, and we got
Alan's. Yeah, it's a funny page because it kind of. I guess it's deliberate because there's so much happening at once, and it's all kind of.
It's like the background is separate from everything else.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think it's a deliberate sort of. There's so much going on at the same time, and this is the only way we can show it by having all these multiple panels.
Oh, you know what? That's him looking at that.
It.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's all happening at the same time, so.
Yeah, that thing on his, that was around that guy's head, that last issue, that's, these little panels are what he's seeing.
Oh, the monitor guy, Uxon,
yeah.
Uxon, or whatever his name was, yeah.
That's what all I'm right. getting.
Yeah, I don't know, that's a good point, yeah. We got the Green Lanterns who are trying to break into Earth, still falling, they're down to 19% ring power. We got Supergirl standing with Mary Batson and Freddie Freeman, who has got a makeshift crutch in his hand, and this is back when Alan Scott had a connection to the planet Earth, and
oh yeah, yeah,
talking about he's broken the world.
Okay.
And then we get a flashback to the heroes who would. Beat up that, who had won that bridge, and Wonder Woman's infected them. People are losing their powers and dying. The Black Gambit is in play, and then we got Wonder Woman Fury saying, look, up in the sky, and Supergirl pointing up at the red clouds. And a totally, out of nowhere, a Superman flying in, decimating everything with his, heat vision, with zero regard for people, it seems. Or is everything falling down and he's actually saving people? I can't tell.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's impossible to tell. But some kind of sonic boom as he's flying along and Supergirl's yelling, he's saying Kal-El, and Superman's PO'd, and he is taking out the female Furies and their little dogs, too.
Oh.
Poor puppies. Oh, poor puppy dog. And he is destroying a building with his heat vision. It's the Dark Side Club, I think, is what he's going.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's still blowing up things, and for some reason Supergirl is up in the sky now looking down. And people on the bridge going, oh my god, what's happening to the sky? Look what they've done to the sky. How
that looks familiar.
Hmm?
That looks familiar, all the different Earths in the sky.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Hourman got from that stretcher up to the bridge to hang with his wife. Nobody can stop us. We're powerless. This is the end of the world. And then we have the two Wildcats. Mia, when she was back as Speedy, and Vixen. And somebody with a cowboy hat facing away from us. And yes, yeah. that's a cool panel. That's too bad the faces are so bad, but the layout is very nice. Of all the multiple Earths. And then we have Superman holding the corpse of Batman and just standing there. That's Doug Monk. No, that's not Doug Monkey. Who does those eyes? That almost looks like Gary Frank, but it's Doug Monkey.
No, I think that's Doug Monkey. I think the whole Superman pages are... I think all the Superman pages are Doug Monkey.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's he does have Gary Frank eyes. Standing there holding the corpse of Batman, and we have the title of the story you have been reading, How to Murder the Earth, by Grant Morrison doing the script, with J.G. Jones, Carlos Pacheco, Doug Monkey, Marco Rudy, Christian Alame, and Jesus Moreno doing the art chores.
And somebody we found on the side of the street.
Well, they called it the sliver cover.
Oh, the sliver. Okay, gotcha.
And then we get a, you know, that's it. And then back when they were doing DC Nation pages, we have a shot of the Teen Titans at that point.
Yeah.
With Red Arrow filling the role of Nightwing. That was it. That was the issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I see got an ad for Battle for the Cow.
Yeah.
Right after that.
So... that was issue 6 of 7 of Final Crisis, brought to you by the fine folks at DC Comics, 5 years ago DC Comics.
Yep.
Back when Grant Morrison was working full-time for them.
Yes. And the very last page is the ad for the Dark Knight on Blu-ray. So.
I still liked it. The story is still hanging together for me. There's weird things like the time travel-y stuff and all that kind of leaves me. I don't get it, but whatever. But the rest of it all.
Yeah,
still kind of
I think there was a lot of stuff thrown in there that didn't really have much to do with anything.
Well, it's Morrison playing with as much of the DC as he can and squishing in.
Mm-hmm.
Every last bit of it, which is, you know, which is fine. It's cool if you get what he's playing with, then it's fun. And if you don't know what he's playing with, you still get the main idea of the story.
Yep.
If you smell what he's cooking, it's fun. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I just the things that break it for me though are those leaps from things that happen not in this series, and there's freaking editor's box would have been fine.
Yeah, I agree. Agree totally.
You know, this happened in Beyond Superman Beyond 1 and 2, or takes place after Superman Beyond 1 and 2. And, you know, if you want to see how Batman escaped from his death trap, see Batman number 6 whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. It was there were holes in there, and there were, like you said, Chris, the art took me out of it a couple times.
Yeah, it's rough.
some really cool pieces of dialogue. I Grant Morrison does come out with those, and the potential future team up, Supreme, Savannah and Luther, or Luther and Savannah, something worth looking for. It'll never be done, because they won't ever do something as cool as that.
Yeah.
But I like how Luther is just basically saying, fine, I guess I have to trust you, Savannah. And Savannah comes through.
Yeah, he does. You're right.
Through like a winner, like a champ. I think this was supposed to have led into a new Shazam family book, and obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a good one, too.
I think so. Again, I wasn't as turned off by it as I remember my first time around.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see what turned me off the first time around.
What?
In terms of this book, in terms of this miniseries, I can see why I didn't like it the first time around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I am definitely liking it better. Okay.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Are we done?
I'm done. I'm finished.
So
I got nothing else to add.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know if we're gonna. I'm looking through seven. I don't know if we're gonna. We might have to read through that Superman Beyond to understand it.
We're not.
Okay, we're not then. So that was issue 6, boys and girls. Wow. That's all we got for right now. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page. Lots of good conversations going on there, gnashing of geek teeth and geek rage, don't forget that. But you know, only on you know, we're just passionate about the stuff we like, you know, what can you say? Or you can actually comment on the episodes themselves. Might have to do some sign up on a few things, but anyway. That's about it. You guys got anything else?
Nothing.
Okay, alright.
I'm useless.
And that's it for this week. And we're out.